Hello, everyone. My name is Mamun, and this is Ron's Guide to Talk for Tuesday, 30th of March, 2021. And we've got plenty of things to talk about because, hey, it's heating up. We already found we have news about Apple WWDC 2021 happening. It's going to happen in June, and it's online only, sadly. But, we still haven't gone back to normal yet. But there's other things we want to talk about. Volkswagen is suddenly going to be called Volkswagen? That's nuts. It's about the Waltz, not the folks, if you know the meaning in German. Volkswagen actually is, in German, known as people's car. So it's a voltage car? Oh, well. But that's not the main story. Xiaomi has announced plenty of new devices, including some new phones and a commitment to get into EVs, which, when I first heard it, I was shocked for real because, wait, Xiaomi's going to make an electric car? That's lovely. At least it won't be a wonky, honky, expensive car like a BMW i4 or iX, at least. So, firstly, Xiaomi have kind of announced a bunch of new smartphones. Basically, the remaining bits of the Mi 11 series that haven't really come out. The main Mi 11 already launched in January, and now we have other variants in the Mi 11 series that have finally come out in full, and these are probably solid phones in their own respects. There is the Mi 11 Ultra, which is an absolute beast in that regard, literally. Then you have the Mi 11 Pro, which apparently is China only, so there's no global launch for that phone. But hey, the Pro isn't much of an upgrade compared to the regular Mi 11, so I think they didn't really announce a Pro variant from the looks of it. But if you want to save a bit of money, there's Mi 11 i and a Mi 11 Lite phone. So all in all, you have five Mi 11 variants already, which is phenomenal. So a solid flagship lineup. But as always, we need to talk about the Ultra. But honestly, to talk about all these phones, we got to really look at what's inside. It's phones are kind of like cars or most things around us. The looks may deceive, but you got to really look on the inside, because that's where the real heart of the phone is. That's the heart of the phone, the specs, the sensors, the processors. Oh well, let's read the specs, and I think they'll speak for themselves. They'll probably speak for themselves that they're kind of a beast smartphone. So let's read the specs, shall we? And I kind of forgot to mention, and I seem like I totally forgot it, but there's also Xiaomi has also dropped a foldable phone. But we'll talk about that in its own kind of segment. And all these devices have kind of been announced over today and yesterday. So that's interesting. But let's just now really go through the specs. So first you have the Mi 11 Ultra, which is the highest spec variant of the Mi 11 series that you can buy. That's something to point out. It features a WQHD Plus 6.81 inch AMOLED quad curved dot display, 20:9 aspect ratio with a resolution of 3200x1440 pixels, 515 pixels per inch, that's the density overall, with a 5,000,000:1 contrast ratio, a typical brightness of 900 nits and 1700 nits of peak brightness. You get 120 hertz refresh rate, and features adaptive sync, so it can go from 30 hertz to 120 hertz instantly, and is a quite accurate display with a delta E of roughly 0.41, so this is a bit of a step up from the Mi 10 Ultra from the looks of it, if that's not obvious, and features and can do DCI-P3 color gambit with ability to display over a billion colors straight away, and can do HDR10+ and Dolby Vision out of the gate. And the display glass is definitely Gorilla Glass Victus. On top of that, this phone weighs 234 grams, features a Qualcomm Snapdragon 888 processor, which is a 5-nanometer chip with an X60 5G modem and Adreno 660 GPU, which is interesting. As for the camera, and this is where it gets interesting, you get a 50 megapixel wide angle sensor, a Samsung GN2 sensor with a 1.12 inch sensor size, 1.4 micrometer pixel size, with the ability to shrink 4 pixels into 1, so that would give you roughly, that would be 20 megapixels, give or take. Okay, that I kind of blew past that. Oh well. but it should shrink to a decent size from the looks of it. Aside from that, it has a aperture of f1.95, so it is incredibly massive for what it is. So it is pretty big from the looks of it. This is packed along with a 48 megapixel Sony IMX586 ultra wide angle sensor, which features 128 degree field of view, 1 by 2 inch sensor size. So that's half an inch sensor size. That's bananas. I didn't think we're going to get to a half an inch camera, and has a pixel size of 0.8 micrometers. F2.2 aperture and autofocus is built in, along with another 48 megapixel Sony IMX586 telephoto sensor, which can do both macro and telephoto features. Is interesting. So you get 5x optical zoom, naturally 10x hybrid zoom, and 120x digital zooms from there on forward, which is interesting. And on top of that, this features a half an inch sensor size. So this is the same sensor, the same Sony sensor as the ultra wide angle, but it has different lens on it. So it's half an inch wide, pixel size wise, and features 0.8. Okay, so it's the same Sony sensor with the same specs, but you get f4.1 aperture, which is good for telephoto. On the front, you get a 20 megapixel in-display selfie camera, so it's probably a punch hole notch from the looks of it, with f2.2 aperture, 0.8 micrometer pixel size. So this might be similar to the Sony sensor, probably, because it's similar. We don't know. I mean, we'll have to see about that. This phone comes with dual 5G standby and dual SIM built in, USB Type-C, Bluetooth 5.2, Wi-Fi 6E and Wi-Fi 6 support, IR Blaster, NFC, in-screen fingerprint sensor, and a 5,000 mAh battery, and get this, 67 watt wired and wireless fast charging. I think it's wonderful that they offer a similar voltage of wired and fast and wireless fast charging. I didn't think I would say this. Also, this is quite ultra from me. Wired and wireless charging at the same speed, so you can really pick. You can pick your speeds if you want, and you get 67 watt wired charger in the box, which I think is wonderful. You get dual speakers tuned by Harman Kardon, certified for hi-fi audio, high-res audio. Aside from that, this phone comes in a single storage variant of 2 gigabytes of RAM and 256 gigabytes of storage, and runs on MIUI 12, which is based on Android 11. Quite a wonderful phone, and this phone will simply cost 1,200 euros and will soon be available through official retail channels. Prices may vary depending on where you live, as always, so that's something to keep in mind. Then there is the, in going in terms of hierarchy, there's the Mi 11 Pro, which is China only, unfortunately. But again, makes sense given that this would be a bit of an overkill between the Mi and the Mi 11 and the 11 Ultra. But that's not what we're here to talk about. This phone is interesting, to say the least. This simply, to cut it simple here, this features a 6.81 inch curved quad curved AMOLED display, QHD plus resolution, 120 hertz refresh rate, Dolby Vision, and has core Gorilla Glass Victus, and you get a pre-applied screen protector, which is wonderful. You also get the same dual stereo speakers tuned by Harman Kardon, 20 megapixel ultra selfie camera, 20 megapixel selfie camera, simple, just like the Mi 11 Ultra. You get, you also get the 50 megapixel GN2 sensor that's also on the Mi 11 Ultra. The 1 by 1.2 inch sensor size is incredibly massive. And you get a 2.8 micrometer pixel size overall, and shrinks to 1.4 micrometers if you bin 4 pixels into 1. So that's wonderful, to say the least. On top of that, you just get a periscope module that does 5 times optical zoom compared to 10 times optical zoom on the Ultra, 30 megapixel ultra wide camera, Snapdragon 888, same, and features a 150 millimeter vapor chamber, which is cool, good for cooling, 5000 mAh battery, 67 watt wired and wireless fast charging, so it's almost similar charging tech like the Mi 11 Ultra. Also has MIUI 12, IP68 water and dust resistance, IR blaster, all this pretty wonderful, and starts at a base spec 8 gigabytes of RAM, 120 gigabytes of storage for $762. That's roughly 5,000 yuan, RMB, so that's roughly $672. And you can get double the storage, same RAM for $807, maxed out variant, 12 GB of RAM and 256 GB of storage will be $868. Quite a lucky price tag for Xiaomi. Probably would sell like hotcakes from the looks of it. Fortunately, you can buy this with both as the phone itself or a 67 watt wall plug and a charging cable in for no additional cost. So you have that option on Xiaomi's official website in China. So if you buy it on Mi's official store in China, you should be able to buy it with or without a charger kit. So that's wonderful. You have the choice really if you want. And weird and more cooler than that is, along with the Ultra, along with the Pro and the Ultra, you can buy an 80 watt wireless charging pad and will let you charge the phone vertically or horizontally. And also you get a 120 watt charger, which is wonderful. And this kind of kit, and it's interesting as apparently this 120 watt charger will be included in the wireless chargers that Xiaomi is offering, and the pad will charge you about $91, and the stand is about $76 as it is. So that's kind of interesting. So seems like they have really pushed out tons of good phones. And we go all the way down to the Mi 11i, which is an affordable phone. Fortunately, the Mi 11i actually is a if I could find some information, as always, is I think this is a rebadge of a Redmi K40 Pro Plus, as I've read somewhere. So that's interesting. But the specs, as I said, are quite interesting. The Mi 11i features a 6.67 inch Samsung E4 AMOLED display, 2400 by 1080 resolution, 120 hertz refresh rate, 1300 nits of max brightness, 5 million to 1 contrast ratio, delta E of roughly around 0.35, so that's interesting. You get a Snapdragon 888 processor, Cairo 680 CPU cores, Adreno 660 GPU, X65G modem, so it's like 888 also. It's in a 888. Oh well, it comes in either 8 gigabytes of RAM and two storage options of 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage. You get liquid cooling, which is interesting. And along with that, you get 33 watt fast charging, so you could charge you could charge the whole phone in 52 minutes. And you get 33 watts wire charger. It seems like everyone's making fast chargers now, which I think is lovely. That's the biggest quality of life improvement, as always, as I've mentioned before. For the camera, which is I think is interesting to talk about, it's similar to the K40 Pro Max Pro Plus from the looks of it, or the Pro. You get 108 megapixel main sensor, 1 by 1.52 inch sensor size, 0.7 micrometer pixel size. You get 9-in-1 binning, so you can get a one large 2.1 micrometer pixel, which is interesting. F1.75 aperture, 8 megapixel ultrawide sensor with field of view of 119 degrees, F2.2 aperture, 5 megapixel telemacro camera with F2.4 aperture, an auto focus of roughly 3 to 7 centimeters. So you could put the camera roughly 3 to 7 centimeters approximately and get crystal clear focus, which this thing is wonderful. You get dual SIM, dual 5G standby, Wi-Fi 6, NFC, IR blaster, USB-C. And you have 4520 milliamp hour battery. And you get just a fingerprint sensor on the power button on the side, which is interesting. It comes in MIUI 12, which is interesting. And weighs 196 grams and comes in silver, white, and black. So this is a good value for money Mi 11. This is a good value for money Mi 11 phone. Now, this is a rebadge of the K40 Pro or Pro Plus, which is interesting. This phone, as it is starting, will cost you €649, which I think would sit nicely between the Poco X3 Pro F3 and the Mi 11 globally, which I think would be wonderful. 428 gigabytes of storage, base spec. Double storage is €699, and you will pre-order it soon, which is interesting. And finally, there's a Mi 11 Lite and 4G and 5G variant. This is the most affordable Mi 11 phone that you can get, and not many crazy compromises, let's just say, right here. So, the Mi 11 Lite. There are two versions. There's a 4G and 5G variant on the Mi 11 Lite. Both phones feature a 6.55-inch AMOLED dot display, 2400 by 1080 FHD+, 10-bit color contrast, DCI-P3 color gamut range, 90Hz refresh rate, 240Hz touch sampling rate. The 5G variant of the Mi 11 Lite can do HDR10+, as it is, whereas the regular Mi 11 Lite can do HDR10. I think it's more to do with licensing, but the display is quite capable of very high contrast. Both phones feature the same camera, which is a 64 megapixel sensor, f1.79 aperture, 0.7 micrometer pixel size, 4-in-1 pixel binning, which is interesting, 8 megapixel ultrawide sensor, f2.2 aperture, 1.12 micrometers, 5 megapixel telemacro camera, f2.4 aperture with 1.12 micrometer pixel size, which is interesting. The real difference, however, comes in network technology and processors. The 4G variant of the Mi 11 Lite just weighs 157 grams, so 2 grams lighter than the 5G variant. The Mi 11 Lite 4G features a Snapdragon 732G, which uses liquid-cooled technology, which is interesting. 60-megapixel built-in selfie camera, in-display selfie camera, which is a punch-hole notch, as it is. Interestingly, if yes, it is. The display is only Gorilla Glass 5, unfortunately, which is interesting. It just has 4G only from the looks of it. Could do dual SIM without a problem, Bluetooth 5.1, Wi-Fi 5, which is Wi-Fi AC technically, NFC, IR Blaster, USB-C, which is interesting, and just comes in either in 164 or 128 gigabytes of storage with just 6 gigabytes of RAM out of the gate, and that's the 4G variant. The 5G variant, on the other hand, the display glass is Glass 6, features a Snapdragon 780G processor, 5-nanometer fabrication. It features a, obviously being the 780 processor, it features 5G chipsets, which is interesting. You get Bluetooth 5.2, Wi-Fi 6, NFC, IR Blaster, USB-C, a 20-megapixel selfie camera. So for extra megapixels, if you have the 5G variant, which is, I think, interesting. But now this actually is almost in the same territory as the Redmi phone, so it's in that area segment in terms of price and specs, but it is a bit of a step up from the Redmi. At least you get a Mi brand phone, which is interesting. In terms of the same sorts of specs, you get dual audio speakers, high-res audio certification, which is interesting. A Z-axis linear motor, which is on the other Mi 11 phones. A ArcSide mounted fingerprint sensor. 4,250 mAh battery, 33-watt fast charging. Now, there's no mention of a charger in which has that voltage, so you'll have to get a much faster fast charger, but that should be a problem for you. The 5G variant of the Mi 11 Lite will come in either 6 gigabytes of RAM, 120 gigabytes of storage variant, or 8 gigabytes of RAM and 128 gigabytes of storage. And this phone will start from €300. The 4G variant of the Mi 11 Lite will start from €300, and the 5G variant will start from €370. And it's got this simple dimple design, and it's quite fashionable, and it's still premium, but has some interesting features nonetheless. And doesn't have the curved display of the regular Mi 11 phones. So there you have it. That's the Mi 11 series right over here. So that's all the specs that you gotta know about. So that's the whole Mi 11 series of phones. The Ultra is quite a fascinating phone. It is the most advanced Mi series phone that Xiaomi offers in its lineup. I mean, dual stereo speakers tuned by Harman Kardon, 67-watt wired and wireless fast charging, 120Hz WQHD+ display, which can do over a billion colors, 1700 nits of peak brightness, and three high-resolution cameras, which is powerful. But the most interesting aspect of the Mi 11 Ultra, which we've seen already, which has been leaked a lot, is that rear display that you'll find at the back. That actually is a 1.1-inch AMOLED display. You can actually touch it, and that'll give you a rear selfie, give you a camera preview of the back cameras. It can even go into super power saver mode, showing you the battery and time. It can tell you the time. It can show you notifications, and it is a wonderful, and it's an AMOLED display, which I think is wonderful. This is a little cool feature. It's a bit of a party trick. It's a wonderful feature. It kind of tops off an Ultra phone, to say the least. It is quite utilitarian, being an ultra high-end phone. I think there are times we all would love to have a little display at the back of our phones, and such time is now, kind of, so that's interesting. Absolutely wonderful stuff. Okay, I'm a bit of a Mi fanboy, and you expect nothing but songs of praise from me, but really, this is a wonderful phone. You got a big 50 megapixel sensor, 1 by 1.12 inches, which is massive, and you can do 4-in-1 pixel binning, so it'd be massive. And add this to the night mode algorithms that they've created, and that gives you incredibly good night mode photos. I've seen the samples because I've seen the highlights of the live stream, and it's wonderful. It gives you almost cinematic quality, and they kind of claim that it's the kind of photos that you take that you can put in a magazine, which I think makes sense. More than everything, there's also a time of flight laser sensor, autofocus sensor, which is there, which is wonderful. You have two IMX 586 sensors doing two completely different things. One will do ultra wide angle. Another is periscope zoom lens, which I think is wonderful. 5X optical zoom and 10X hybrid, 120X digital, which is wonderful, to say the least. These phones from all three sensors can do 8K, 24 frames per second, video recording, which is wonderful, dual native ISO fusion, and stagger HDR functionality. This is a monster of a phone, and Xiaomi really could pull off a super high-end phone, unlike any other brand. As for performance, Snapdragon 888, wonderful phone, a wonderful chip, best in class, can't go wrong, you know what I'm talking about. But fast charging is bananas, 100% capacity in 36 minutes, dual 67 watt wired and wireless fast charging, which is wonderful. And this is because of a 30 watt wireless charging circuit, which is cool, and 6X supercharge functionality. And apparently, the battery in the Mi 11 Ultra utilizes a second generation nano silicon oxide cathodes, which is interesting. This gives it 10 times the storage capacity compared to traditional graphite cathodes, which is interesting. So this is in the press release, so it's interesting. And the Mi 11 Ultra has a ceramic finish, which absolutely looks beautiful. Pretty high end from the looks of it. 1200 euros or around $1,300 is a bit too much money in that regard. You might as well want to check out the Mi 11i and the Mi 11 Lite, Mi 11 Lite series, which is interesting. Mi 11i is a slightly more affordable variant of the Mi 11. Despite the name, don't let the name fool you. This Snapdragon 888 AMOLED display, 120Hz, 4520mAh battery. What else? What do you have? 33-watt fast charging. You do get a 33-watt charger in the box. Wi-Fi 6, dual 5G, a dual SIM 5G functionality, 5G, 108-megapixel camera. We really don't know the sensor, but it is impressive nonetheless. Dual native ISO, like the Ultra and the regular Mi 11. And 8K video recording. This is a bit of an affordable flagship, competing with other similar affordable flagships in that segment. This phone will set you back starting 650 euros, which is a good value for money. It's I think 100 euros extra from the phone which is based off the Redmi K40 Pro or the Pro Plus. I don't know which variant, but it is the higher end spec of the K40 series. Then you have the Mi 11 Lite and 4G and 5G variant. Now, it's kind of interesting phone. It's quite simple. It's quite elegant. It's for those people who, prior to the kind, they'll end up buying an A52 potentially. And this competes with the Samsung Galaxy A52 and A72 being affordable phones from a high-end brand. Pretty interesting, probably better value than an A72 possibly. This is a little bit, this is a bit more cheaper than A72 and really packs more than A72 potentially. But it's quite functional, and again, they've really pulled no stops with the spec sheet here. You get an okay camera, kind of. The design is like the Mi 11, it's a bit more simpler. There's a 5G variant at least, and that is 370 euros. The A72 from Samsung, which is around 400 to 500 euros approximately, and that's like for the 4G variant. And here you get 5G at 370 euros. So this is good for those in the market who want to buy a affordable product from a premium brand or premium spec like the Mi 11 series, but are too ashamed of buying Redmi or Realme or those cheaper phones. This costs good money, but you get some good specs for the money, and they pack good value for money in that regard. So that's that really with the Mi 11 Lite series. There's a 4G and 5G variant, and the 5G, I believe, would probably be full good value for money in that regard. So that are the phones that they announced yesterday. And there's the wearables, actually. They have smart devices also. Well, what do they have? Let's find out. So we have a new Mi Smart Band 6. Mi Band 6, technically. An upgrade from the regular Mi Band. This features a 1.56-inch full touchscreen display, full color AMOLED display, 326 ppi, 50% more screen space from the Mi Band 5. You get over 30 workout types, and can do automatic detection for six common fitness activities, I think, which is wonderful. This is kind of going neck and neck with the OnePlus Watch. This has SpO2, so that's blood oxygen measurement, accurate heart rate monitoring, enhanced sleep tracking, so you can even track your REM and sleep breathing quality, stress monitoring, and much, much more. Mi Band 6 offers 14 days of battery life, 5 ATM water resistance, and comes in 6 vibrant colors, and you can also even get third-party bands for it, surprisingly. If you go to AliExpress, you can buy third-party bands for it, and you can have a stylish smart band. A very popular wearable, neck-and-neck with the Fitbit, and then there's this. This wearable will set you back 45 euros, and will be available soon. And then there's the Mi Smart Projector 2 Pro. This is similar to the Mi Gia projectors that have come like before it. This is a global variant as well, but this should be available worldwide. This is a new design which features a full HD resolution natively, and it can go from 60 to 120 inches in overall size. It is based on proximity, really, depending on how far you put it. It offers maximum brightness of 1300 lumens, and can support HDR10 at the gate. This projector features a 10-watt speaker to do Dolby audio without a problem, omnidirectional autofocus, and instant autofocus, so that's cool because of the time-of-flight sensor right on the little corner next to the projector lens. And this runs on Android TV instead of Xiaomi's own skin or patch wall in China. Globally, this will run on Android TV, which comes built-in with Netflix. Woohoo! That's great, actually, because there are a lot of China-made projectors that are smart, run Android, but do not offer native Netflix support, which I think would be a help. And Chromecast is available without a problem, and this little projector will start at about 1,000 euros as it is. So those are the IoT devices, which are really, really cool. This is what Xiaomi is really good at after the phones. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not only what Xiaomi has announced. Early today, they showed off a brand new product, which I think is their first foldable phone and is an absolutely stunner of a phone in that regard. This is Xiaomi's answer to Samsung. I was about to say the opposite, but oh well. This is their answer to the Galaxy Fold, the Mi Mix Fold. A stunning premium foldable phone. The first phone in the world with liquid lens. A absolutely stunning foldable phone. I mean, if Xiaomi made a folding device, it's absolutely ballsy and good value for incredible value for money, as always. As for the Mi Mix Fold, this features an 8.01-inch internal foldable display, OLED, 4x3 aspect ratio, WQHD Plus resolution, 1 billion color contrast almost, which is wonderful, 60 Hz refresh rate, 900 nits peak brightness, a 4.3:1 contrast ratio, HDR10 Plus, Dolby Vision, and a Delta E of 0.35, so an absolutely stunning internal display, worth unfolding in that regard. You get a 6.5-inch external outer AMOLED display, 90 Hz refresh rate, 27:9 aspect ratio, and a slightly low-res display, weirdly enough, which is interesting, 900 nit peak brightness. So it's not as impressive as the internal display, but whatever, it is interesting. You get standby dual 5G SIM support, Wi-Fi 6, Snapdragon 888 processor, comes in either 12GB of RAM or 16GB of RAM. You get 512GB of storage only on both variants, which is cool, but that's not the thing we're here to talk about. Being a foldable, Xiaomi's first foldable, this has, in terms of back cameras, it has a 108MP Samsung HM2 primary sensor at 1.152-inch sensor size, 2.1 micrometer pixel size, a 8MP zoom sensor, which is the first of its kind in the world with liquid lens, 123 degree field of view, 13 megapixel ultra-wide angle sensor, f2.4 aperture, 20 megapixel selfie camera. Now, interestingly, the cameras at the back are powered by Xiaomi's own image processing chip, the Surge C1. Absolutely lovely to see Xiaomi make their own chips. It's kind of difficult because it costs a lot of money and time, but it's interesting being Xiaomi's first foldable. They've bought their own image processing chip, which is interesting. So you gotta control the hardware and the software. You get a side fingerprint sensor, 5,020 mAh battery, dual 3D speakers, 3D surround speakers, 67 watt wired fast charging, no wireless charging, unfortunately. Comes with MIUI 12, which runs on Android 10, weirdly enough. And this phone will start, okay, there is a 12GB RAM, 256GB storage variant, and this will start from 10,000 yuan renminbi. If we do the currency calculation, as I tend to mistakenly say that, RMB to USD for simplicity's sake, this phone will start from $1,500 approximately US. And the storage options will go like 1,000 yuan extra, so that would essentially be, and then obviously double the storage for roughly $1,700, and then $1,800 roughly is the maxed out spec. Pre-orders start from today and will be available from April 16th. Now, this is a kind of interesting phone, being Xiaomi's first foldable. Some pretty crazy specs. First in the world to come with liquid lens built in, which I think is interesting to say the least, and has four speakers that can do sort of 3D sound, which I think is really, really cool. I mean, really awesome specs to start with, and you have this massive 8-inch foldable display, really competing with Samsung. And aside from that, you have this kind of U-styled hinge, which I think is interesting. And this phone features Xiaomi's first image processor, which I think is really, really cool. They're really starting to play around with the hardware a bit, making their own hardware. And this has a dual-cell 5,020 mAh battery. So this is a stunning phone. This is their first ever foldable, and I think this is the first of many foldables they're going to be making, there's definitely more in the pipeline. So these are the Mi 11 phones and the Mi Mix Fold phones, which I think are kind of interesting. And then they unveiled a new look, essentially, where the Xiaomi text is a bit more cuter, you could say, and the Mi logo with the mobile internet meaning is a bit more rounded and it's a bit aesthetically pleasing. And it's actually been designed by a Japanese graphic designer, Kenya Hira, which I think is interesting. But more than all these announcements is Xiaomi's also big announcement that they're looking to head into start making EVs, which is what they also announced with the Mi Mix Fold. And that is they're planning to launch electric vehicles. Their plan is that they're going to make an investment of roughly 10 billion yuan renminbi initially. And the plan is over the next 10 years that they're going to invest up to $10 billion USD to make EVs. Now, aside from that, there's not much information. Now, this is Xiaomi's biggest move yet in their own eyes. And their CEO, Liu Jun, has kind of said that this is his biggest act that he wants to. This is really his biggest move. He's pioneered IoT and smartphones. And now he's looking to do the same, bring the same kind of mantra to EVs. And I think it's interesting. We really don't know what kind of EVs are going to make. But I kind of think that they'll probably make a wide range of cars and obviously price them quite affordably. And they might even add some of their sub-brands like Redmi. And it's early days. You never know. It could happen. So it's quite exciting stuff from Xiaomi. Moving on, Apple has announced that their Worldwide Developers Conference that's happening this year also will happen from June the 7th to June the 11th. But this will not be a physical event. This will be a virtual gathering. Unlike most events this year in 2021, because of obviously COVID, the Rona, and also on top of all that, indoor gatherings are still a tricky issue. I mean, the vaccines are out, but people haven't vaccinated properly, so that's quite interesting. Now, we don't know what to expect at WWDC, but hopefully some new Macs, some new products. Possibly more about Apple's AR and VR ambitions. Who knows? as the teaser has shown. So that's that. Switching gears over to EV news, Volkswagen has announced that they're going to be sort of rebranding themselves in the United States as the Volkswagen of America. The Volkswagen of America. Get it? Get it? Get it? The woke in Volkswagen switched out to Volt. The Volkswagen of America, which I think is this Volkswagen trying to build some publicity, trying to get people's curiosity and attract some press attention as they roll out their ID series of cars, including the ID bus, which actually is going to come out next year, in the next year or two. They have the ID4 that's out, which is making some big waves in the press. Potentially the next Beetle in that regard, as one had written that I found on the internet. So it's making some buzz, and they're looking to, you know, stay in the headlines by doing this. I thought this was like just a joke for April Fool's Day, but no, seems like they're really doing it to differentiate, to show that they're an electric first brand, which I think is interesting. And finally, Kia has talked more about their EV6. We now know the actual specs, the price, and much, much more. Now, several weeks back, we talked about the Kia EV6, the first EV car, proper EV that they're planning to launch. And all we knew was the car itself as a design, and not much. But now we know a lot more. Obviously, this is the first battery electric vehicle that Kia is making under Hyundai's eGMP powertrain, which is really cool. But on top of all that, it features some pretty interesting specs, and I'll take you straight to the interesting specs. Now, there will be three variants of the Kia EV6, the regular EV6, the EV6 GT line, and the EV6 GT. This is the most maxed out high-performance variant of the EV6. This car features 520 liters of boot space, which can go up to 1,300 liters when you put down the seats. This also has a 52-liter or 20-liter frunk, which is interesting, or just a 20-liter frunk for the American model. This uses Hyundai's eGMP architecture, and for the regular EV6 and GT line EV6, this comes in two variants, a 77.4 kilowatt-hour battery, a 58 kilowatt-hour battery, and both batteries come with either two or all-wheel drive design. And there's an EV6 GT, which has a 77.4 kilowatt hour battery, all-wheel drive. Now, the regular spec series, the long-range variant, has at all-wheel drive maximum has a overall power of 239 kilowatts, and it's 168 kilowatts with just two motors. And the standard range has slightly less power at 173 kilowatts for all-wheel drive and 125 kilowatts with the rear motors, which is interesting. But the GT variant of the EV6 has 430 kilowatts of overall power on both and front, so that's interesting. This car can do 400 volt or 800 volt fast charging DC, which would be interesting. So you get up to 80% charge in just 18 minutes, or even a 100 kilowatt CCS charge at around 30 minutes, which is interesting. This is quite a futuristic crossover car, a match between it's a match between the Carnival a little bit and the Sportage. It's mixed, it's a bit narrower, it's sleeker, it's aggressive, it's sporty, and you'll actually get a regular EV6, a GT line, and a GT variant of this car, and comes with two battery sizes and with an option of two rear or all-wheel drive functions, which is really interesting. And there's also going to be driver assistance with highway driving assist too, and remote smart parking. Just in case you're also curious, that yes, there is a GT variant of the EV6, and this can absolutely if I could find the information for the GT variant, this apparently can go 0 to 100 in just 3.5 seconds, whereas the regular can do it in just 5 seconds, which I think is good for a lot of people who would buy a car regularly. This is a really good car, the first battery electric car, a sleek crossover, a bit more stylish and sporty compared to the IONIQ 5, which is a bit too futuristic compared to the EV6. So it has good performance, good charging, good battery, really. Oh, you're kind of curious of the battery, weirdly enough. This, the regular EV6, being the 77.4 kilowatt hour battery, would have a charge of up to 500 kilometers. And then the 58 kilowatt variant will be way around half of that almost. So that's with 200, 300 kilometers. So it's kind of impressive for what it is. Now, on top of the looks and interior and everything, and this is quite a long and stylish crossover, the EV6 is built in South Korea at Kia's factories in South Korea, right, for now, being the first EV out there. I mean, down the road, it'll be made everywhere. But on top of that, also being that it has eGMP, it will have that vehicle-to-grid functionality of plugging stuff in and powering from the batteries. Now, we don't know the price worldwide overall. It has not been announced, but in some countries, Kia has announced the prices for the EV6. The regular 77.4 kilowatt, the long-range EV6, will start in Britain from 40,895 British pounds. The GT line will start from 43,895 pounds. And the GT, the EV6 GT, big battery, four wheel, four motors, ballsy performance, sporty looks, 58,295 pounds. And this is before the plug-in grants, the taxes, and everything added in. So prices may actually vary. This is a wonderful car. A little futuristic, but quite aggressive and sporty and kind of long body, kind of saloon crossover-esque kind of car. It's kind of lovely. It could be the Kia that I think my family would actually love to buy, honestly. My sister would look to upgrade. In dinars also, this base spec EV6 would do wonders. Fortunately enough, this is the prices for the long-range version. There's going to be a standard range EV6, but that's going to come out later. Now, this will be available in the UK from October 2021. So this year, you'll get to buy this car and drive it this year, pretty much. So that's wonderful. And that'll be a long-range variant, which I think would do wonders. But 40,000, which British pounds would be roughly 20,000 Bahraini dinars. Quite a premium for an SUV and a crossover, but this sounds a good value for money given the low cost of maintenance for EVs and obviously the range here, which is, I think, which should be decent. There should be a cheaper, smaller range variant, but that would be, again, with EVs, you really need to have more than sufficient charge. You need to at least have more than 400 kilometers of charge to really be comfortable driving it like a regular car, because you won't be able to just go back and top it up quickly. And there's not many chargers, so that's interesting. But this is going to be the first of many EVs Kia is planning to launch under the EV badge with a corresponding number. This may be given a name in some countries, who knows, but it is an interesting car nonetheless. So it is quite a powerful device, quite a beefy car and stunning for Kia's first EV. They already sell EVs, but again, they're just retrofits or you could say compliance cars, as they tend to call them in the car industry, just to fit emission standards or tax credits or carbon credits, as they tend to say. So it's a kind of interesting car nonetheless. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at @Sayed_Mao99. Follow me there if you can. Share the show to your friends and family. Subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you can. And that's pretty much it for Mao's Gadget Talk. This is your boy Maun signing out. Stay safe, take care. Till Thursday, this is your boy Maun. Have a great day. And I'll see you soon, all right? Ciao.